Today on Real Radio.
Paul was struggling because he had not yet heard. This is love. What love is this? He's struggling because he hasn't heard the response yet of the Corinthians over his first letter.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a section toward the beginning of chapter 7, where the apostle seems to open up his heart a bit. Paul expresses mixed emotions about what he said in his previous letter to those believers at Corinth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, What Love Is This?
We're to be faithful to present the gospel. The outcome is of God. That's what he does. What an encouraging word. The great apostle is fearful. Okay, what do I know? I know that I'm going to be fearful. You're going to be fearful. Don't think it's like some big thing that's befallen you. This is normal. Pastor Jack, do you get nervous when you share with people? It is so easy to share the gospel in a crowd. It's so simple. It's not much personal. I had a pastor tell me, whatever you do when you give the word of God, man, do what I do. He said, I don't look at people. It freaks me out. Well, I'm not that personality. I mean, I got to look right at you. I got to look at you. In fact, I get letters from people saying, you looked right at me when you said. I do get those letters. I had no previous knowledge. I didn't have a dream the night before to turn to you and say, Jesus said. No. I'm kidding. But it happens. But listen, I get dry mouth, I get terrified, my heart is pounding when I'm going to share with one person. Spooky. Scary. And I like it that way. You want to know why? It's proof positive that the glory belongs to God and not of us. It's not about us. The third thing under this is that what love is this that cares about our thoughts, your thoughts, is found in verse 3, thoughts based on what you know. This is amazing. No need to belabor it. Look at verse 3. It speaks for itself. He's speaking of his heart toward them, and he's praying that this is their heart for him as well. To die together and to live together. This term, to die together, to live together, would be equivalent to our modern day declaration that we would say at a wedding. It's till death do us part. That's what Paul is saying. We are together, to die together or to live together. He loves them so much. And this minister's heart should be commended. Would to God in our day and age that we would have ministers in the pulpits and Christians at large, all of us like Paul. You know what? Brother to brother, yours in life and death. What a great statement that is. And they knew that. What love is this that creates such passion? Verses 4 through 5. That creates such passion. A passion that is resolute, for sure. Look at this. He says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. That's interesting. Great is my boasting on your behalf. There's an exuberance here, unlike many other places in Scripture, and for good reason. The word boldness here, it is a great boldness. The word means Paul is saying, I have great outspokenness. I have great confidence. I have great outspokenness, great frankness. The word means a great bluntness, and it's all based upon love. What is his point? What's he saying? Man, this is powerful stuff, because when he says, great is my boldness of speech toward you, it's better for me to maybe act this out in front of you, do a little skit in front of you. Paul is saying this in these dramatic, beautiful words. He's saying to them, I am coming to you in this letter, in light of what I wrote to you in 1 Corinthians, I'm standing true on it, but I'm grabbing you by the shoulders. I've got you by the cheeks. You ever had your grandmother grab you by the cheeks? And I'm telling you right now, and in that moment you might think, this is scary. But when you back away from it and realize, no, this is incredible love. He's saying to you, he's speaking, and he's really blessing you. It looks kind of violent, kind of crazy. You ought to go to the Middle East with us sometimes. It's awesome. Because you'll meet up with people, and when they love you, you'll know it because they touch you. They grab you. Come here. And they're hugging you. And the guys and the gals, they'll kiss you on both sides of the cheek. And it's like, okay, well, there is that passion of meaning it. By the way, they don't mean it. They won't do it. And he's grabbing. Imagine the Holy Spirit today maybe using me to convince you right now. God is saying, do you hear what I'm saying to you? I love you so much. Maybe you've been rebuked. Maybe you've been corrected. Maybe you've been convicted of this or that. Or maybe God is saying to you, yeah, you've walked good with me so far, and here's the next thing. I want you to go to the next level. I want to do this in your life. And you're like, no way. What's going on? Whatever. And the Lord is grabbing you and saying, come on, let's go. It's kind of a beautiful militant scene. It would be like a commander grabbing his troops and yelling at them, kind of like a George Patton general, yelling and screaming at his guys, and they took it. Nobody broke down crying because they knew he loved them. And Jesus loves you. Everything about him is to bring you to an incredible victory, a passion that is resolute. A passion, listen, one writer writes, a passion to reach your friends with Jesus can only happen if you have been reached yourself. He spoke to them directly, honestly, accurately, all of it in love. And then the word boasting. The word boasting here means with a pure sense of approval or gladness. He says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. I'm going to tell it like it is. And secondly, listen, I am absolutely pure in my motive when I tell you I approve of you, Corinthians. Now, church, this is a big statement. Because his first letter, he said they were carnal. They were backslidden. They were messed up. And he called them saints. He's hoping now that the letter that he wrote to them has the proper effect, and it does. Look at secondly, a passion that is abounding. He says in verse 4, I am filled with comfort. This is an interesting turn. Now watch this. Something happened, church, family, mark this in your Bible. Something happened between verse 3 and 4, and we're going to find out what it is. We get to snoop into this diary and read it. Are you guys okay? I am filled with comfort. The word comfort is what you think it is. It's overwhelming relief. Ah, yes! Comfort, filled with it. Exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. Really? I mean, the word means we all on the team are abounding with remarkable joyfulness right in the midst of our tribulation. This is so important to us. Look. For you, think, the most difficult time you're going through. You say, I'm not going through any difficult time right now. That's awesome. Great. But it's coming. Could be employment. Could be sickness. Could be a letter. Could be a who knows? Doesn't matter. What in the world can happen in your life and in my life that in such difficult, by the way, the word tribulation means crushing, we would use the word in the English, I think, today, suffocating moments where, you know, when pressure, have you ever been under so much stress or tension that you don't breathe right? You physically don't breathe normal. Your breaths are real shallow. And every so often you catch yourself and you take a deep breath, you're not breathing right. Why? Stress is doing that to you. It feels like an eagle landed on your chest. You're not having a heart attack, but you feel like there's a block on your chest. Stress. That's exactly the word, tribulation, a crushing. So Paul is saying, oh my goodness, we've got great joy in our crushing. How can this be possible? What are you talking about? Before we go any further to this, I want to ask you some questions really quick. Just think about them. This crushing pressure, anguish, or trouble, in the midst of it, we can be super abounding with cheerfulness. Leads me to ask myself 5 questions. What are the signs of discouragement in my life? You know, what discourages me may not discourage you. You need to think about that for a moment. What are the signs of discouragement in my life? The second thing I want to think about is, what are the effects of discouragement? How does it affect you? Do you get grumpy when you're discouraged? Do you get talkative or do you get quiet? Do you want to take a walk or do you want to hide in your closet? Everyone's different, but the pain's the same. The third thing I asked myself was, what is the conclusion of this discouragement if I don't get it checked out? I can't live like this, right? You would say, I can't continue like this. These are all emotions that the apostle felt. Number 4, what is the remedy for discouragement? That's a good question. That's a tough question. Because we don't often think about that when we're discouraged, do we? We don't often think that positive when we're down in the dumps, right? Am I the only one admitting this? Or you guys are so quiet? Are you with me on this? Pastor, we'll pray for you. I'm getting discouraged. Number five, what should I do about it? Those are good questions to analyze always. Number one, here's the answer. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." They start in our minds. Listen, you control somebody's mind. I shouldn't say that. You have input into somebody's mind. That will affect their outcome. Encourage your children. They're going to be an encouragement and they're going to be resilient. Discourage them and they're going to be defeated and be very, very fragile. Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, it's all in the mind, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Doubt does that. Fear does that. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Wow. What does that mean? How does that look like? Oh man, I don't think I can do this. Wait, Jesus, wait a minute. I don't want to do this, but the thought came into my mind to do this for your glory. Thus, this is not from me. This is from you. So give me the strength. And this fear, I bring that, Lord, under the captivity of Jesus Christ right now. That's what you do. Number two, Psalm 43:5. This is awesome. I often lean upon this verse. Psalm 43:5, David is speaking. Now, David is speaking. Look at the verse. "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" This is kind of cute. Watch this. You almost see him move his robe out and he looks down into his chest. You know? He looks down and he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" This is David talking to David. "Why are you so disquieted within me?" Listen, hope in God. Who's he talking to? Himself. "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." He winds up preaching to himself. He takes the word of God like we're supposed to and applies it to himself. Are you discouraged? Yes. Hope thou in God. Look down your shirt if you have to. Tell it to your heart. Hey, why are you so bummed out inside of me? Hope in God. What's the matter with you? We need to do this. It's powerful. A passion that is abounding. Third verse. I love this verse, Jeremiah 15:16. "When I discovered your words," Jeremiah says, he was bummed out. That guy got beat up. He was misrepresented. He was thrown in jail. He was absolutely, had the worst ministry. And on top of it, he was a teenager. Think about this poor kid. This is what he says. "When I discovered your words, I devoured them." How come, Jeremiah? "Well, they are my joy." Ooh. He ain't got no joy in the other place. "And my heart's delight." Why? "For I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's armies, Lord of hosts." Jeremiah, why are you so happy today? Can you imagine CNN walking up to a prophet, been rejected by the nation? He's just a punk kid. Nobody's taking him seriously. And what's with you? What are you smoking, Jeremiah? Nothing. I just opened up the scriptures. And when I looked at the scriptures, I was reminded that I'm called... God's word is on my heart. His life is my life. I belong to God. It's all good. No, it's the realization of who my God is. Look at verse 5, a passion that is stronger. A passion that is stronger. "For indeed, when we came to Macedonia," Philippi specifically, the Bible tells us, the church at Philippi, "our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, and inside were fears." Philippi, Macedonia, is one of the most beautiful places in the world today. It's opposite Italy. If you leave the eastern shore of Italy and you go across the Aegean, it's just a short boat ride over to ancient, or what would be Yugoslavia area, what was once called Yugoslavia. It's gorgeous. If you've never seen that part of the world where Paul is preaching the gospel, it is so beautiful. That region. Bulgaria is near there, inland. Just a very amazing area. That's where Paul is. Now watch this. He's in Macedonia, and he has not yet heard back from Titus. He's wondering, how did the first letter go? He's kind of freaking out. When he gets there looking for Titus to find out, how did they receive the first writing? The Bible tells us they had no rest inside of his soul. He's troubled. He's wondering if they were wounded or hurt. And then he says, listen, we had difficulties. Outside were conflicts. The things of just being a Christian and being rejected by an unbelieving world. Inside were fears. I love his honesty. Filled with all of these difficult things, Paul was struggling because he had not yet heard. This is love. What love is this? He's struggling because he hasn't heard the response yet of the Corinthians over his first letter. He's a servant of God. Third and final point, church, mark it down in verses 6 through 8. What love is this that causes such a response? Such a response like this, a response filled with comfort. When he says in verse 6, nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, speaking of himself, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Bingo, touchdown. Who's that? Who's coming down the road? That guy looks like Titus. Can you imagine Paul? Titus! Is that you? He's been waiting. He's been searching for Titus. You guys, they had no GPS. They had no smartphones. Months and months and months at least have gone by. Titus is coming down the road. Can you imagine? Man. Look, two words in verse 6. I could actually mention these two words and we could all go home now if we take it seriously. Nevertheless, God. What's going on in your life? Nevertheless, God. Nevertheless, God. The downcast is the word humiliated. God comforts the humiliated, the rejected, the wounded, the hurting. Nevertheless, God. He'll do that for you. He did it for Paul. He'll do it for you. You and I are exactly like Paul. We have a tendency to grandize these people and make them superhuman. They're just like us. The difference is they grabbed the promises of God and would not let go. And when they were tempted, the Lord stood by them and gave them words of encouragement, just like David, who looked down his robe and said, why are you cast down? Hope in God. Flood yourself with scripture. Commit Bible scriptures to memory. Surround yourself with the Lord. Look at this, a response filled with joy. He says, and not only by his coming, woo-hoo, here comes Titus. What's better than Titus coming? But also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you. Titus was made happy by their response. Awesome. When he told us of your earnest desire, now Paul's heart's going to explode. What? Titus, tell us, how did they take it? How did they take my first letter? Well, number one, Paul, they had amazing earnest desire to receive it. They had an intense craving to apply the letter you wrote to them. Paul's heart's exploding. Church, you with me? We're almost done. He's all pumped up. Yes! Number two, they mourned. They mourned over the fact that you were mourning. They love you, Paul. Can you imagine? Me? Did they actually mention my name without like hissing or hating me? Yes, they love you, Paul. They received your letter. He's like freaking out. Your zeal. The word is passionate. Listen, passionate indignation. What does that mean? They received your correction against them. Your passionate indignation against the sin that was going on in Corinth. They received it, Paul. It's almost like he's getting a report card or he's hearing declarations from the judge, you know. So that I rejoiced even more. Joy unspeakable, overflowing, exploding joy, which leads to this and we end. A response filled with restoration. Look at verse 8. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, that's 1 Corinthians. I do not regret it. I love this turmoil of emotion. Watch. Though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. What is he saying here? Church, we end with this. Watch this. Do I have all your attention? Yes. I'm going to tell you something I've shared maybe a few times. I'll share it with staff in certain times and meetings. There's a lot of things. You guys, if we're just going to do church, then I guess we could download a church program and put it into the computers and do some sort of a do church thing. I hope that you would reject that. I would reject that. I'm not even sure if I like the scenario that we are in right now. In fact, I'm quite sure of it. I don't like this atmosphere that we're in. I put up with this. Why? Because this is much better for me. This is much better for me. And there's only one thing better than this, and that is if we just got around a coffee table. No. That's not true. The best thing of all is if we all just sat down at the beach. Yeah. with our Bibles open, right? And we just talk like this, and we just did this. This is what I love, okay? Having said that, when Paul says, when I wrote to you my letter, I regretted it, but I didn't regret it. What is he saying? He's saying, I know I was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to say and do what I did. Watch this. When the Holy Spirit is done for that moment, for that ministry moment with a man or a woman, the Holy Spirit still lives inside that Christian that he's using, okay? But that, what we would say, verbal inspiration or that anointing is not needed any further. At that moment, if I'm preaching to you under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and then I go home and put clothes in the laundry, God is still my God and the Holy Spirit still dwells in me, but at that moment, I'm not anointed for power. The same is true for you. If you, right now, listen, the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if you go out to share Christ today, or if you go do a hospital visitation, brothers and sisters in need at the hospital, you will get hooked on serving. You want to know why? I have to confess this. It's almost terrible, but yet God made it this way. It's not only that you're serving. You start to experience a rush concerning the presence of God upon your life. It's addicting in a holy way. Okay? When Paul wrote and put down his quill and backed away, and Titus got the envelope, licked it, and walked off to Corinth, Paul began to think, holy cow, I said to them, that guy that's having sex with his stepmom, to throw him out of the church and let Satan destroy his body? I'm not even sure if I agree with that, but I said it. And yet it wasn't I who said it, because no scripture is given for private interpretation. And I know that God had possessed me to write that, and I'm just torn, oh my goodness. And now he's just Paul. Are you with me? He's just Paul. Hey, Paul, how are you? Why? What? Oh, no, just asking. I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? And then he gets word that the rebuke was received and the church is transformed and a revival takes place. And he catches now the word back from Timothy. It's all good. He said, oh, man, thank God my comfort is this. My poor little sweet ones at Corinth. You were so messed up. The rebuke was so strong, but it was God who did that. You listened to the voice of God. That's what he's rejoicing in. You didn't listen to the voice of Paul. You listened to the voice of God, and you were changed. And I'm so grateful that the sorrow that you had and that I had, or that I thought you had really bad, and that was all freaking out because I didn't know what you were thinking or feeling, it was only for a little time. Touchdown. Thank you, Jesus, Paul is saying. Isn't that awesome? And that happens to all of us. It's the way ministry is. And listen, I like that. It's raw because it's real and it's all about God and it's his power and it's his word. And whatever we do at this church, we should have a very light touch on it. And we should be seeking constantly his presence to possess all that we do.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What Love Is This? It's a study taken from a section toward the beginning of chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. What Love Is This? Is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you signed up to receive Pastor Jack's weekly devotionals called Real Life Devotions? When you do, you'll find them in your inbox every Monday. Real Radio listeners are really loving them and letting us know about it. Here's what one subscriber to Real Life Devotions wrote. She says, Pastor Jack's real-life devotions from Scripture and life applications bless me. I get so much inspiration, instruction, and encouragement from the real-life app. I have it on my iPhone and iPad and use it every day. It's one of the most complete ministry apps I know about. Thank you, says Patricia. Well, thank you to you, Patricia. Subscribe to Pastor Jack's real-life devotions. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Need to get in touch by phone? Here's our number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.